Shabbos, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is daf chof. If you remember again yesterday, we ended the shir with a kasha, with a question. The Gemara dealt with the following situation, that what is the halacha if, let's say again, a death occurs on Yom Tov itself. So we've already established that again, that Shiva does not begin until after Yom Tov, in which case again, the days of Yom Tov will not count towards Shiva. The question is, can the days of Yom Tov count towards the calculation of Shloshim? So the Gemara gave an answer of Eina Ola. It does not work. Now the Gemara is going to question that idea. The Gemara says, Eisvei, Hakover Esmei, so Shnei Yomim Kol Demaregel. This is three lines up from the bottom in your testament base. If a person buries his dead 2 days prior to Yom Tov, Mona Chamishim Acher Haregel. Rabbosai, again, remember, according to this view, which was the view espoused in the Mishnah, the halacha is that if you observed less than 3 days prior to Yom Tov, that Lamaisa, again, Yom Tov would not go ahead and end the Shiva. And you'd have to, therefore, the Braisa says over here, that you, if you observed only 2 days beforehand, Yom Tov interrupt, which you would observe the 5 days following Yom Tov. Umalachto na'asis aydei achirim. However, again, in the 5 days after Yom Tov, others could go ahead and do your work for you. And your household staff could go ahead and do work for the household for you, but they do it privately. So, and similarly, again, literally, Rabbi Misaskimo means that the public need not concern themselves with the Avel. Rashi points out that there is no obligation for Nichum Avelim, no obligation to visit or comfort the mourner, because again, the assumption is that in a situation like this, people will still be visiting the Avel over the course of Yom Tov as well. Therefore, he's already had 7 days of consolation, and therefore, there's no obligation for anyone to console him after Yom Tov. Top of Chav, Shekvarnas Askubo Boregel, because they've already visited him over the Yom Tov. Klalo Shel Davar, here is the general principle. Kol Shuhu Mishum Evel, anything that is related to mourning, Regel Mafsika. So what that means is, any behaviors that are related to the person's personal observance of mourning, so those are suspended by Yom Tov. So remember, this is Dafka, the case of where he only observed 2 days prior to the onset of Yom Tov. So Yom Tov comes, Yom Tov interrupts his personal mourning behaviors, and he resumes them for 5 days after Yom Tov. The Chol Shehu Mishum Iskei Rabim. But anything that has to do with Nichum Avelim, then Ein Regel Mafsiko. The Yom Tov does not stop. Well, it's very interesting, because what the Gemara assumes is that even if the person is not observing their mourning practices over Yom Tov, people will still be coming over to console him. So by the time Yom Tov is over, he has already had 7 days of consolation. So again, he still has to behaviorally observe another 5 days of personal mourning, but really he only does just basic behaviors. And we see already there are leniencies. His household staff could work, he could have work done on behalf of him, and no one is obligated to come and visit him after the Yom Tov, because that has already been accomplished on the Yom Tov itself. So the Gemara says, the Rosh, bless you. However, this is an interesting case. Let's say a person buried their dead 3 days before the end of Yom Tov. 3 days before the end of Yom Tov. So sometime over Chol HaMoed, a person buries their dead. So what's the halacha? Monish Shiva Achar Regel. So we'll say Arba Yomim. Monish Shiva Achar Regel. So in that case, again, remember, Shiva never started. If Shiva never started, then again, remember, Yom Tov can't cut it off. So a person goes ahead and observes 7 days after Yom Tov. However, listen to this distinction. Arba Yomim HaRishonim, for the first 4 days of the Avilos, Rabim Misaskin Bom. So people come to be Menachem Aval for the first 4 days. Shlosh Yom HaChron, but the last 3 days, Ein Rabbi Misaskimbo. People don't have to come to do Nichum Avelim for comforting the mourners. Why? Shekvarnis Asku Beregel. Because again, they've already comforted him on Yom Tov itself. Meaning, both of the assumption is that people come to comfort a mourner as soon as the mourner has endured the loss, even if technical Shiva has not begun. So in this case, again, a person had the loss, again, the third to last day of Yom Tov. So the Gemara assumes there have been 3 days already of comforting. You only need an obligation of a total of 7 days of comforting. Therefore, even though you're going to be observing 7 days of mourning after Yom Tov, people only have to come to visit the first four, but not the last three. The regel olelo, and the Yom Tov counts as part of his calculation. So the Gemara has counted as part of his number of days. So the Gemara says, "My love asefa." Now, when the Braisa makes that statement that the Yom Tov is Olo, the Yom Tov counts, does that not refer to the last case that we just mentioned, namely, where a person suffered a loss on the regel? And then the Braisa is telling me that the days of the Yom Tov actually count towards the calculation. In this case, it wouldn't be as much of the Shiva, but rather, again, it would be towards the Shloshim, to which the Gemara says, Lo Aresha. No. That statement of that the days of the regel count towards the loss are not talking about the Resha, rather not talking about the Seifa, talking about the Resha. What was the Resha's case? That was the case of where a person suffered a loss prior to Yom Tov. So then the Braisa is saying, if a person suffered a loss prior to Yom Tov, again, remember, the Resha was the case of where the loss only occurred only 2 days before the Yom Tov. So in the Braisa's model, you still have to observe the remainder of Shiva after Yom Tov, but the Braisa is telling me, even though you're going to have to continue with the observance of Shiva after the Yom Tov, the days of Yom Tov still count towards what? Towards the full calculation of the Shloshim. So therefore, again, it's not a contradiction to what we said before, because remember, the Gemara's question was, if someone suffered a loss on Yom Tov itself, granted that she can't begin to observe Shiva, but do the days of Yom Tov count towards the Shloshim? So now this Braisa does not prove that question or does not address that question one way or the other, because this Braisa is addressing a different case. Eisvei. So the Gemara is another kasha. Because you might well say, so far the only answer we have on record is that if a person suffered a loss on Yom Tov, that so far the only answer we have on record is the Gemara's first answer, which is that the days of the regel do not count towards the Shloshim. So the Gemara is a kasha. Isve, regel olalo leminyan Shloshim. A regel, the Yom Tov, counts towards the calculation of the Shloshim. Ketzad, what's the case? Kavro b'tchilas haregel, if a person buried his dead at the beginning of the Yom Tov, mone shiva acher haregel, he can go ahead, he observes shiva after Yom Tov, umalachto na'asis ayde acherim, but his work can be done through others. Va'avoda v'shivchosav osim b'tzina b'soch beso, ve'in rabbi misaskim bo, shekvarnis asku bo b'regel, v'regel olalo. This is what this Braisa says. This is talking about a person who suffered a person who suffered a loss at the beginning of Yom Tov. So therefore, the assumption is what? People will be coming to comfort him over the course of the entire Yom Tov. He still has to observe personal Shiva. So his Shiva, his 7 days, are observed again after the Yom Tov itself. But people are not obligated to go ahead and visit him, because the assumption is that consolation has already occurred over the course of Yom Tov. And therefore, again, he observes a more lenient Shiva after Yom Tov, where his household staff could go ahead and do work for him. Others could do work for him, but the part that matters for us most, the regel olalo, and the regel is counted towards the calculation of the shloshim. Tiyufta, indeed this is a refutation of what we said before, and would appear, I will say, based on what we've just learned now, that if a person suffers a loss on Yom Tov itself, as much as Shiva cannot begin until after Yom Tov, halacha lemais, well, not, we'll see if it's halacha lemais, but what the Gemara is saying over here is that it would appear that the days of the Yom Tov count towards the Shloshim. So you have a very interesting, almost like counting anomaly, where on one hand, again, whereas normally Shloshim is the 23 days after Shiva, here, interestingly enough, the clock for Shloshim will begin before Shiva itself has actually even been observed. Again, I'm not suggesting, we'll see what the halacha lemaisa is. That's the Gemara suggesting right now. Ki asa ravin amar Rabbi Yochanan. When Rabbi came along, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Afilu kavro beregel, it is true, even if a person buried his dead on Yom Tov, the days of Yom Tov itself count towards the Shloshim. V'chein uri li Rabbi Lazar l'Rabbi Pedas, berei, so too Rabbi Lazar instructed Rabbi Pedas, his son, Afilu kavro beregel, even if the Levaya was on Yom Tov itself, the days of Yom Tov still count towards the Shloshim. It could be Yom Tov itself. No, it could be Yom. Remember, again, we mentioned this yesterday. Technically speaking, you could bury the dead on Yom Tov itself as well. So it could be either one. It doesn't really matter. Tan Rabbanon, Kiyem Kfiyas Amita Shlosh Yom Kol D'Maregel. If a person observed the overturning of the bed 3 days before Yom Tov, so we spoke about this last week, that in Talmudic times, so one of the morning practices they had was literally a turning over of the bed. We don't do this anymore. We saw this again in Maseches Tainis, that this practice fell into disuse because people suspected, the Gentile nation suspected, that it was kishuf, that it was sorcery. Therefore, in order to maintain good relations with our neighbors, we dispensed with this practice. But the Braisa says over here that if a person turns over their bed, a display of mourning, morning, 3 days prior to Yom Tov, Haregel, excuse me, call them Haregel, Eino tzarach lechafos sa'achar Haregel, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. You need not go ahead and overturn it after the Yom Tov. These are the words of Rabbi Eliezer. So we'll say why, because Rabbi Eliezer is echoing the sentiment we saw in our Mishnah. But when we say that if a person overturned their bed 3 days before Yom Tov, what is that another way of saying? They observe Shiva. So if a person observes Shiva for 3 days prior to Yom Tov, Rabbi Eliezer's position, like we saw in the Mishnah, is that Yom Tov cancels out the Shiva. V'chacham, the Chacham say no, afilu yom echad v'afilu shah achas. The Chacham say no, you don't have to observe 3 days of Shiva in order for Yom Tov to go ahead and cancel out Shiva. But even if what? Even if a person only observed 1 day, or even if a person only observed 1 hour, and I said we spoke about this yesterday, that even 1 hour doesn't have to be an hour. What does 1 hour mean? It could even mean some small amount of time that a person observed for Shiva. As long as a person behaviorally observed Shiva in some fashion prior to the onset of Yom Tov will cancel out that Shiva. Amar Belaza Bereb Shimon, Hein Divrei Beishama, Hein Divrei Beisilal. This Machlokus Etin Rabbi Elezer and Acham is in fact a Machlokus in Beisham Beisilal. What's the Machlokus? Shebeishama Omrim Shlosh Yomim. Beishama says in order for Yom Tov to cancel out Shiva, one has to have observed Shiva for at least 3 days. Or Beisilal Omrim Afilu Yom Echad. Beisilal says no, even 1 day of Shiva observed is enough to allow it to be cancelled out by Yom Tov. That even if you observe 1 day, even if you observe one little bit of Shiva prior to the onset of Yom Tov will cancel out the Shiva. Rava Amar, on the other hand, Rava disagrees, and he says, Halacha kitano didan. The Halacha follows our Tana. Bosei says what? That you need Shlosha Yamim 3 days. The Amar Shlosha. So we'll say again, so just you should know how, well, let's see. Ravina ikla l'sura depras. So Ravina went to Sura, which bordered the Euphrates River. Amrale Rav Chaviva l'Ravina. So Ravina said Ravina. Rav Chaviva said Ravina, excuse me. Hilcha samai. So what is the halacha? Meaning again, we have this major machlokas over here, as to how much Shiva has to be observed in order for Yom Tov to cancel it out. Amrale, to which Rava responded, to which Ravina responded, Afilu Yom Echad Va'afilu Sha'achos. Even 1 day, even one little, even an hour, even just a little bit. And I will say, that indeed is the halacha l'maisa, that as long as a person has observed some semblance of Shiva, even if it's just really for a few moments, halacha l'maisa, once Shiva's been observed before Yom Tov will come along and cancel out the Shiva. At the cemetery, correct, 100%. That is correct. Yosef, Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Akil od Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar. So we'll say it's actually such a beautiful image. So Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Rabbi Ami, and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha were sitting kilos like a porch. Were sitting on the porch of Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar. So they're schmoozing, right? They're sitting on the porch of Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar. So what do great people schmooze about? They schmooze about Torah. Nafik milsam abinayhu. So they begin a discussion. And what was the discussion about? Minayin la'avelos shiva. Rabbi, say, if you remember, interestingly enough, yesterday the Gemara asked about what is the source of shloshim. So now, but remember, I mentioned yesterday that we never found out like what was the source of shiva. Now the Gemara discusses, where do we have this idea of shiva? Right? Where do we know this idea of 7 days of mourning? So the Gemara says, because the Pasuk says in Amos, Vafachti chageichem le'evel. I will literally turn your chag, your Yom Tov, to more days of mourning. And the Gemara understands, ma chag shiva, just like a chag is 7 days, right? They also remember Pesach, Shavuos are 7 days. Pesach Sukkis, I'm sorry. Shavuos we'll see in just a moment. So just like a chag is 7 days, af avelos shiva. So again, we're equating again the chag with the avelos. Chag is 7 days, therefore shiva is 7 days as well. But why don't you say again, if you're going to compare Avelos to Chag, maybe it's comparing it to Shavuos. Shavuos is only 1 day. To which the Gemara says, first wide line of Osei, Hahumi Barley the Chidre Shlakish. No, you need that Jerusha for something else. You need that Jerusha for a Shlakish. The Amri Shlakish Shambi Hudinesia. Minayin l'shmuo rechoka she'ino noheges el yom echad. This is our next sugya. How do we know about a shmuo rechoka? So shmuo rechoka, we will see, literally means delayed news. about the death of a close relative. So how do I know that if I get delayed news about the death of a close relative, she'ino noheges el yom echad, that I only have to observe the laws of mourning for one day, dechsiv va'fachti chageichem le'evel. Because again, the pasuk says, I will turn your yom tov into a day of mourning, va'ashkichan atzeres te'ikrei chad yoma. And we know that that Shavuos is a chag, and it's only one day. Therefore, we see again that there are circumstances in which you observe mourning only for one day. So we'll say, this is very interesting. So halacha lemaisa, what comes out is the source for avelos of Shiva. Now again, interestingly enough, we find other examples of mourning for 7 days in the Torah. But interestingly enough, they occur prior to Matan Torah. They occur in Bereishis. And we have a general principle, Yaakov, we have a general principle of Ein Lemeidin Davar Mikodem Matan Torah, that we do not learn out halachic principles from anything that occurred prior to Sinaitic revelation, prior to Matan Torah. Therefore, the Gemara looks for a post-Sinai example of this. So therefore, again, the Gemara says over here, that we actually learn it out from this pasuk in Amos. And again, so really what we do is we learn two things out. We learn out that in general there is the concept of mourning for 7 days, and we learn under certain circumstances there's actually mourning for one day. Now that the Gemara opened up the door, now Bosai, I just want to point out, the Gemara, although it looks like the Gemara closed out the discussion over here about what Shloshim factors, how you count Yom Tov Torah Shloshim, we actually did not finish. The Gemara is going to go on a little bit of a tangent and actually come back to this discussion. So the Gemara now says over here, the Gemara says, now that we opened up this door to Shmua Rechoka, delayed news, the Gemara is going to discuss this. San Rabbanon, Shmua Krova, if a person hears more immediate news about the death of a close relative, Noheges Shiva Ushloshim, they begin to observe Shiva and Shloshim from the time they hear the news. Shmua Rechoka, if a person hears delayed news about the passing of a close relative, Eino Noheges El Yom Echot, you only observe one day of Shiva. So the Gemara says, Ezuhi Krova Ve'ezuhi Rechoka. So what's the definition of immediate news or delayed news? Listen to this. Krova Besoch Shloshim, Rechoka La'achar Shloshim Div Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says, a Shmua Krova Rabosai is you hear the news of a passing within 30 days. And Shmua Rechoka means what? After 30 days. So this is very interesting. So according in Rabbi Akiva's model, if you hear about the passing of a close relative within 30 days, you have to observe Shiva and Shloshim from the day that you heard. If you hear after 30 days, then halacha lemaisa, you only observe one day of Shiva and no Shloshim. The Chacham Nacham say, Achas Shmua Krova, Achas Shmua Rechoka, Noheges Shiva Ushloshim. The Chachamim argue on Rabbi Akiva, and they say, no, it doesn't matter when you hear about the loss of a close relative. Whenever you hear about it, you have to observe Shiva and Shloshim. Amar Rabbi Barachan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Komakom Sha'atam Otzi Yochin Mekel, V'Rabbi Machmirin, Rabbi say now, in general, Rabbi Barachan says, Rabbi Yochanan says, that in general, whenever you have a machlokes, and you have a situation where the individual is Mekel, and the rabbim, the majority are machmir, the halacha is what? Halacha ki rabbim. We always follow, and also remember, very often in halacha, we follow the rabbim in general, we follow the majority. Certainly where the majority is machmir, and the minority is Mekel, we certainly will follow the majority, with the exception of chutz mizu. With the exception of this case. Why? Sha'afapi Rabbi Akiva make of a Chacham Machmirin, even though, because remember, Rabbi Akiva, who is the singular opinion, right? He is the minority opinion, and he's Mekel, and he's lenient. Rabbi also, remember, what is he lenient with? He's lenient with Shmuel Rechoka, that he holds that delayed news of a death of a close relative only results in a one-day Shiva and no Shloshim. As even though Rabbi Akiva is the Yachid, and the Chachamim are Machmir, Halacha Rabbi Akiva, the Halacha follows Rabbi Akiva, Da'amar Shmuel, Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel Be'eva. Rabbi also, we keep seeing this principle, that the Halacha follows the one who is lenient with the laws of Avelis. And Rabbi also, this indeed is Halacha L'maisa, that if a person only receives delayed news, a person receives news about the death of a loved one within 30 days, they observe Shiva, and then that launches into Shloshim. A person only hears about the loss of a loved one after 30 days, then halacha lemaisa, they only have to observe one day of Shiva, and we're not even finished yet. There's still another leniency built into this. Well, so you know what this, so again, it's hard for us to imagine this in today's day and age of instant communication, but even today we'll often use this in a situation of where an elderly person has suffered a loss, and let's say again, the family assesses that the person cannot sit Shiva, cannot observe Shloshim for a variety of reasons. We will intentionally delay telling the older person. Again, and this is obviously a specific case, a family often has to make make this call about what's in the best interest of their loved one. But bless you. But we still sometimes use this where we'll delay telling the person. They say when we tell the person, as heartbreaking as it's going to be for the individual, but halacha maisa, at least like this, they do not have to observe a full Shiva. They'll just actually, we'll see, they're not even going to observe a full day. Let's go weiter. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina, Asya lishmua da'avon bechazai. Rabbi will say, so you have to understand something. In the times of this Gemara, in times of the Gemara, not even in times of the Gemara, not until so long ago, right? So again, so it was common that if you did not live in the same city as close relatives, that it was common that you would not hear about things for 30 days. It's very common. So you might tell stories over here. Rabbi Chanina heard. Rabbi Chanina asked the Shmua da'avon bechazai. Rabbi Chanina, who did not live in the same city of his father, whose father lived in bechazai, heard that his father passed away. Heard that his father passed away. Asa lekameh. Because, and I will say, he heard about it 30 days after his father had already passed away. So, because they came before Rechizda, he didn't know what to do. It's delayed news. Your father passed away more than 30 days ago. And therefore, again, you only have an obligation to sit Shiva for one day. Rav Nosson bar Ami asli shmo di imeim bechozai. Similarly, again, Rav Nosson heard that his mother passed away in bechozai more than 30 days ago. Asli kamid Rav, he came before his Rabbi Rav. Amrale hare amru shmo rechoka eno no heges al yom echad bilvad. That shmo rechoka only delayed news. You only have to observe Shiva for one day. Isve bamed var mamurim. When is this true? Bechamisha meisei mitzvah. This is only true, I'll say, with the five close relatives, meaning a husband, wife, brother, sister, son, daughter, right? Spouse, sibling, brother, sister, son, daughter, child. Aval al aviva al imo. But regarding one's father or mother, shiva ushloshim. You have to observe shiva and shloshim, even if what? Even if it's more than 30 days. Armalehi responded to him, no, yichidoyi, that is a minority opinion. And we do not hold of that opinion. So Mosai, for our purposes, we do not distinguish between parents or other losses. The halacha is if you hear within 30 days, you observe Shiva and Shloshim. After 30 days, only one day. Disanya, Ma'ase Umeis, Alav Sharab Tzadok beGinzak. So one time it happened that the father of Reb Tzadok died in the city of Ginzak. Vahovdi Uhu La'achar Shalosh Shanim. So this is amazing. They didn't tell him until after 3 years. Ubav shal es Elisha ben Avuya. He'll say, this story is so dramatic on many levels. First of all, they didn't tell him for 3 years. So again, it's not clear from the Gemara. If they didn't tell him for 3 years, perhaps he was in frail health, or perhaps he just didn't. The point is, he didn't hear until 3 years later. He came. Who did he ask? He asked Elisha ben Avuya. Now, Elisha ben Avuya is almost never referred to by name in the Gemara. He's always referred to as Acher because he was an individual who essentially became an absolute heretic. Not only did he become a heretic, but he became an... I'm sorry? So it could be because even in situations before he became heretic, the Gemara usually does not use his name. But it could very well be, by the way, there were other Elisha ben Avuyas. Interesting enough, there were other, the Elisha ben Avuya was not the only Elisha ben Avuya. There were other sages by that name as well. So it could be a variety of different things. In any event, he came before Elisha ben Avuya, Iskinim Shi'imo, Va'amru, Nohuk Shiva Ushloshim. They actually instructed him to go ahead and observe Shiva and Shloshim because apparently Elisha ben Avuya and these other sages held like that Das Yochid, held like that individual opinion who held that for parents, you observe full Shiva and Shloshim even with a delayed news, or even with delayed news. Ukishemes benosho Rabbi Achia Begola, Yoshvu Alav, Shiva Ushloshim. And interestingly enough, again, when the son of Rabbi Achia died in the Gola, in diaspora, they observed for him Shiva and Shloshim as well. So Bosai, this seems to raise a kasha. Ini, is that so? Meaning Bosai, so is that so? Vaha, we'll see what the kasha is in just a moment. Vaha, listen to this. Rav Barachud Rabbi Achia, Dahava bar Achsei de Bechir. We actually had this a couple of blad ago. So Rav was the son of the brother of Rabbi Chia and the son of the sister of Rabbi Chia. Now, how exactly would that happen? So we know Rabbi Chia's parents both had children from previous marriages. So, right, so again, remember, so Rabbi Chiya's parents both had children. So Rabbi Chiya's parents, one had a father, one had a daughter from a previous marriage. They got married. They had Rabbi Chiya, which means that Rabbi Chiya had half siblings. But his two siblings were what? Not related to each other at all. They married each other. So essentially, again, Rabbi Chiya's half-brother and half-sister married one another, which is totally halachically permissible, because they're not related at all. Remember, their parents married each other, but they're not related. So therefore, again, his brother and his sister, his stepbrother and his stepsister, really it's his half-brother, right? But his half-brother, his half-sister, who were not related to one another at all, married each other and had a child by the name of Rav. He called him Rav. So what happened? So the Ki Salik Lahasam, when Rav came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Chiya is living in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav, his nephew, comes to go ahead and visit him. And now Rabbi Chiya had not seen Rav in a long time. So what's the first question he asks? Ki Salik Lahasik Amarle Abakayim. He asks him, how is your father doing? Remember, Rav's father is Rabbi Chiya's brother, his half-brother. So he says to me, tell me, is your father still alive? Meaning, how is your father doing? So we'll say, at this point in time, both of Rabbi Chiya's parents had passed away. His father and his mother, meaning that Rav's parents had passed away, meaning Rabbi Chiya's half-brother and half-sister had both passed away. Rabbi Chiya did not know about it. So when Rav comes to visit his uncle Rabbi Chiya, he says, Rabbi Chiya asks him, how is your father doing? So Rav responds to Rabbi Chiya, so do you not want to know how my mother is doing? Meaning he's dodging the question. So Rabbi Chiya says, okay, Amarle, Ima Kayames, how's your mother doing? To which Rav responds, Amarle Abakayim, do you not want to know how my father's doing? So meaning I'll say, he's not answering the question. To which Rabbi Chiya quickly realizes that what? That both of his siblings had already passed away. Amarle Lishameh, he said to his attendant, Chalutz li manalai, take off my shoes. Meaning take off my shoes was what? Was a behavior associated with mourning. Right? Shiva. Right? Take off my shoes. I have to sit Shiva for my siblings. Listen to this. Vaholech acharai keli lebeis hamerchatz. But do me a favor, I'm going to go now to the bathhouse. Carry my utensils for me to the bathhouse. So the Gemara says, Shmamina Tzlos. There are three things we learned from this episode. Number one, I hope I was clear with the names, just so everybody's clear, I'm sorry. Right? Remember, Rav is the, I'll say it differently, Rav Chiya was the, had two half-siblings who married each other, have a child, Rav. Rav comes to visit his uncle, Rabbi Chiya, in Eretz Yisrael. Rav was living in Bavel, comes to visit Rabbi Chiya in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Chiya inquires about the welfare of his half-brother, his half-sister. He says, is my brother alive? Rabbi Chiya, Rav is evasive, doesn't want to answer, says, why don't you ask about my mother? Okay, how's your mother? Why don't you ask about my father? So he quickly realizes again that both of his half-siblings are now dead. So he tells his attendant, take off my shoes and let's go to the bathhouse. Now the Gemara says, we learn three things from here. Shmamina, Avil Asabin Asasanda. We learn from here, number one, that a person sitting Shiva does not wear shoes. That's why Rabbi Chiya was now going to sit Shiva for both of his siblings, took off his shoes. Number two, Shmamina Shmuel Rechoke Eino Heges Al Yom Echad. Number two, we learn that again, for delayed news, you only observe one day of Shiva. And number three, Ushmamina, is very simple to say, Mixasun Kekulo. That even part of the day counts as the whole. That for delayed news, when we say that you have to observe a day of Shiva, it's not what? It's not a full day, but rather observance of part of the day satisfies your requirement for Shiva, and that's it. No, the bathhouse was saying that he's going to bathe. He's going to relax. Right? Shiva's over. So meaning take off my shoes. I'm observing Shiva now, but then let's go to the bathhouse. So it's almost like, interestingly enough, it's not clear from the story if no. What he's actually doing over here is he's actually making a statement, and what he's saying is, I'm observing Shiva, and now I want to show everybody it's over. So we're gonna go. So again, I don't know if he had planned to go to the bathhouse already, or he was just making a public statement. Gosh, says over here, that's what? Lamin halacha. Good. See, he was teaching, he was doing this intentionally in order to show that the halacha was that you only have to observe part of the day. So the Mara goes right to Reb Chiya. I'm sorry. So this is a kasha. The reason why this is a kasha, the reason the Gemara thinks it's a kasha, is because here you have Rabbi Chiya, and beforehand we just saw that Rabbi Achiya went ahead and observed Shiva and Shloshim even after Shmuel Rechoka, even after delayed news. To which the Gemara says, it's not a kasha. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Chiya Lechud, the Rabbi Achiya Lechud. They're two different people. Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi, we thought Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Achiya were the same person. Kamashon, they're two different people. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin. Shama Shmua Krova Beregel. I'll say another interesting case. Let's say a person heard Shmua Krova. Even though I'll say the cases are a little bit different also because dealing with different relatives, but the cases are the same. In both cases, it's a Shmua Rechoka. It's delayed news. Rabbi Achiya observed Shiva and Shloshim even for a Shmua Rechoka. Rabbi Chiya observed only a partial day for Shmua Rechoka. The Gemara says it's not a contradiction. Two different people. Fine. But it's another interesting case. Shama Shmua, I'm Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin. Shama Shmua Krova. Shmua Shmua Krova Beregel. Ulamotzi Regel. Nasas Rechoka. Well, so listen to this. It's so fascinating. Let's say on the first night of Yom Tiv, a person heard that a close relative passed away. But by the time Yom Tov is over, it's what? 30. It's 30 days. It's 30 days plus. It's the 31st day after Yom Tov. So when I heard about it, it was a Shmua Krova. But when I am actually able to act on it, it's a Shmua Rechoka. What is the halacha? The halacha is, so Gemara says, Olalo ve'eino noeg eliyom echad. The truth is, we only look at the news at the time that you can actually act on it. And since by the time Yom Tov is over, this news is more than 30 days old, therefore, again, you only observe one day of Shiva, and as we said, not even the whole day, but only just a partial day. Tana Rabbi Ado Demin Kesari, Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, Shama Shmo Krova B'Shabbes. If a person heard, let's say a person hears on Friday night that he lost a close relative, and Friday night is the 30th day, right, or the 29th day, and what happens? Ulamatze Shabbos Nasis Rechoka. And now by the time Matze Shabbos comes around where you can begin to observe Shiva, it's already 30 plus days. Eino Noheg El Yom Echad. The halacha is you only observe one day. So we'll say this is very interesting because we thought that the determinant is when you found out. Now what the Gemara is really telling us is the determinant is what? When can you actually begin to observe it? So even if you find out within the time frame of 30 days, but you can't actually act on that information until post 30 days, it takes the status of a Shmua Rechoka, a delayed news, and therefore you only observe one day. And remember, as we've seen, it's not just one day, but it's what? It's a part of the day, and that counts as the whole day. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Korea or in a Korea. We both say, if a person hears a Shmua Rechoka, and a person, again, post 30 days, so the question is, we've already established now a person is only going to observe one day, and only part of the day. Do they have to do Kriya or not? Do they have to tear their clothing? So the Gemara says, Ramani Amar, so the Gemara says, Eino Korea. Ramani says, no, they don't have to do Kriya. Rabbi Hanina Amar, Korea, Rabbi Hanina says, you do Kriya. Amar Rabbi Mani, Rabbi Hanina, Bishtama Lididi, Da Amina Eino Korea. I'll tell you, my position that you don't do Kriya makes sense. Why? Hainu Delo Ika Avelo Shiva. Because we'll say, Rabbi Mani holds that Kriya is a part of what? The observance of Shiva. Now, what's interesting about this is, even though we don't do Kriya at the beginning of Shiva, right? We really do Kriya most often when a person is still in a state of aninos. But nevertheless, Rabbi Mani holds that Kriya is associated with a morning prayer that will be followed by Shiva. But if there's no Shiva, there's no Kriya. Ela ledidach ta'amrit korea Kriya below Shiva mi'ika. But according to you, Rabbi Hanina, that you do Kriya even for a Shmua Rechoka, where do you ever see Kriya associated not with Shiva? So Gemara says, Velo, is that true? Vahatanya, we learned, Isi Avod Rabbi Zera, Va'amrili Achuod Rabbi Zera, Kamed Rabbi Zera, Misha Einlo Elo Chaluk Echad, Viniz Damilo Besok Shiva. I will say, let's say a person only has one article of clothing. Right, the person only has one article of clothing, and what? I read that wrong. That's the next case. Misha ein lo chaluk l'kroa. Well, say a person doesn't have an article of clothing to tear. Now, when would it come up that you wouldn't have an article of clothing to tear? So Rashi points out, let's say I borrowed clothing. I don't have my own clothing, I borrowed. So we'll say, again, I can't rip someone else's clothing, even if I am in Avelus. So let's say a person doesn't have his own clothing to tear. And let's say what? I get my own article of clothing over the course of Shiva. What's the halacha? Korea. I tear that clothing even though Shiva's already started. La'achar Shiva, eino korea. After Shiva, you do not tear your clothing. Ani Rabbi Zera Basreis. Rabbi Zera chimed in and he said, when is that true? B'chamish emeis mitzvah. That's only true with a spouse, a son, daughter, brother, sister. Aviv va'al imo. Korea v'holich. But for a parent, you go ahead and you tear when, Rabosai? Whenever you receive that garment. What that means is, what it appears to mean is, that even if I don't get my own garment until when? Months and months later, and then I get my garment, I tear for my parent. So what does that show? That shows that what? That you can have kriya, even without what? Even without Shiva. To which the Gemara says, no, that's not a good raya. Ki tanya hahi l'chavot avivi imo. We'll say that's a different case. That has to do with the honor accorded to one's parents. So we'll say, we're going to see that this is a common thread within the halachos of avelus, that parents are in a different category. That there are certain things we do out of deference for a parent that we will not do in other areas of mourning. That really is not as much a manifestation of mourning as much as it is what? A manifestation of kibud avvaim. Tanu Rabbanan. So we have a brayso that says kala amar beparshas kohanim shekoin mitami lahen avel misave aleihem. We'll say anyone who is mentioned in Vayikra as an individual for whom a kohen is permitted to become tamei, these are the same individuals that an avel has to go ahead and mourn for them. And eluhein, we'll say these are the relatives for whom you are obligated to sit shiva, observe shloshim. So, by the way, the Gemara seems to indicate that halacha lemaisa, there is only kriya when there's shiva. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, if you would have a situation where a person would have a shmur rechoka, delayed news, as much as they would be obligated to sit one day of shiva, there would what? Be no obligation for kriya. So these are the five relatives for whom you are obligated to mourn. Ve'elohein, ishto, one's wife, aviv, father, imo, mother, achiv, brother, achoso, sister, bino ubito, one son and one's daughter. Hosifu alein achiv va'achos habsulam imo. We added on to this a brother or an unmarried sister from one's mother. Va'achoso nesua or a married sister bein the aviv bein the imo. Whether from the mother or from the father. We'll explain each of these categories in just a little bit. So the Gemara says, "Ukishim shemis aval." And both says a fascinating halacha. The same way that you mourn for these individuals, kach misavel al shniim shalhem divrei Rabbi Akiva. Both said Rabbi Akiva says you also mourn on the secondary relatives. Now, what does it mean shniim? So according to Rabbi Akiva, the same way a person mourns for a spouse, a brother, a sister, a son, a daughter, if those individuals, whoever those individuals would mourn for, you would also mourn for those individuals as well. So for example, the same way that a person mourns chas v'shalom for a son, if a son loses his son, so the grandfather essentially mourns as well. If a wife loses her father, so the husband will be obligated to mourn for the wife, would also be obligated to mourn for anyone for whom his wife. So shniya means anyone for whom you are obligated to mourn. If those individuals are mourning for someone close to them, you that will call it the first individual is obligated to mourn as well. I'm sorry? We're going to discuss what that means. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, Eino misavel ela al ben bino va'al aviv iva, aviv. So we'll say, va'al avi aviv. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar limits this, and he says, no. It means the only people you would sit shiva for would be a grandson or a grandfather. That remember, since we'll say, and this is interesting because since we see that there is already a relationship with these individuals, meaning that again we have the concept that a grandfather in certain respects is reckoned like a father, and a grandson is reckoned like a son. So in those relationships, in those situations, there is a relationship between the grandparent and the grandson. But for other relationships, again, halacha lemaaseh, you would not observe the mourning practices. No, it doesn't. I don't think so. I don't think so.
They say the son is alive.
That is correct. That is correct. No, not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Yeah. Son's son. How about son's daughter?
So not necessarily. Correct. So meaning it's dafka grandson. Well, so again, we're starting this again. We're going to go through all these variations. The chamim say, kol shem is avel alav mis avel imo. And the Chachamim say that anyone whom one would mourn for, one also mourns with. Then I will say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Kosha misavel of misavel imo, kilomar misavel im aviv, kishu misavel al av shalo. One mourns with his father when one's father is mourning for his father. Nimtza zeh misavel al avi aviv, v'chein kosha misavel alav kimosha misavel al bino misavel. And I will say, the Chachamim seem to be saying the same thing as Rabbi Akiva, right? Meaning that shniim, anyone for whom you mourn, when that individual is in mourning, you mourn with them as well. To which the Gemara says, "Hainu Tanakama." That's what we just said before. That's the opinion of the Tanakama we just mentioned before. Ika benayo, there's a distinction. What's the distinction? The Gemara says, "Ima babayis." Well, it's a very interesting distinction. That what is the scope of the obligation to mourn? Look at Rashi. "Ima babayis." I'm sorry, I said Rabbi Akiva. What's Rabbi Akiva? It was Rabbi Shimon. So, "Ima babayis." Rashi says, "The Tanakama lo bayshe aviv o ben bino." Imo babayis v'yoshev imo v'chachamim ba'u imo babayis. Rabbi say, according to Rabbi Shimon, when he says that you have to go ahead and mourn, if the person whom you will be obligated to mourn for is mourning for a close relative, that's true. If what? That's true only if. Excuse me. That's any time. That's even if they're not with you. Anytime you have to mourn. The Chachamim hold that what? That the only time you're obligated to mourn for a close relative who themselves is in mourning is when you are with them in the same home. We'll say essentially what's happening over here is the following. The act of mourning for a close relative The act of mourning, not for a close relative, but with a close relative who himself or herself is in mourning for one of their close relatives. Let me just illustrate this with an example to make it easier. Right? A person's wife loses her father. So now what we're saying is, according to Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, the husband is obligated to mourn along with his wife. But there's a machlokes as to what the scope of that mourning is. According to Rabbi Shimon, you essentially have to observe Shiva in the same way that your wife observes Shiva. Right? That's the idea. Since I'm obligated to mourn for my wife, I'm obligated to mourn for any of her close relatives while she's mourning for them. So it's a full-fledged Shiva. According to the Chachamim, no, it's not a full-fledged Shiva. I'm obligated to do this, why? Out of covet to my wife. That covet only applies when I'm in the presence of my wife. But if I'm not in the presence of my wife, then I'm not obligated to observe the mourning practices. So for example, if I'm in the house with her, I have to observe the mourning practices. If, lemaisa, again, I'm not in the house with her, then halacha maisa, I'm not obligated to observe the mourning practices. Ki hada amrali rav lichia bre, as Rav said to Chia his son, v'chein amrali rafuna l'rabba bre, and Rav Huna said to Rabbi's son, ba'apa, this was situations where their wives were in mourning. So again, the fathers gave the advice to their son, when you are in the presence of your wife, nahag avelusa, observe avelus. Below apa, when you are not in her presence, lo tinog avelusa, you need not observe the mourning practices. Mar ukva, shachav le bar chamua. I will say, Mar ukva's brother-in-law died, literally the son of his father-in-law. His brother-in-law died. Savar lemeisav alei shiva ushloshim. See, he figured that again, the halacha is that Rabosai, your ab now, again, it doesn't matter as much that it's the son of his father, as much as that it matters what? That it was the brother of his wife. So the brother of his wife died. So Mar Ukva figured again, it's the same way I'm obligated to mourn for my wife, I'm obligated to mourn for anyone that she's obligated to mourn for. Therefore, he was ready to take upon himself shiva and shloshim for his deceased brother-in-law. So he's sitting, so what happened? He's ready, getting ready to sit shiva. Al Rafuna legaba, the Gabi Rafuna came to visit him, Ashkeche, and he found that he was sitting Shiva. So Rav Huna says to him, Amarlei, Tzu Denaisa Bois Lamecha, what is it? Is that you want to partake of the Shiva tray? Is that why you're sitting Shiva? You know, so he says to, he says, what? Is it that you want the food? And that was another way of saying, Lo Amru El L'chvot Ishto, when we say that a husband is obligated to mourn out of deference to his wife, that only applies to who? Elachama v'chamoso. That only applies to his mother-in-law and his father-in-law. That doesn't apply to the wife's other relatives. It only applies, again, to her parents. Desanyo, mi shemis chava malachamoso. if one's father-in-law or mother-in-law passed away, Eino Rashay Lakof Es Ishto, Lios Kocheles Vilos Pokeses, a man can't compel his wife, literally Kocheles and Pokeses means to put on her makeup, meaning he shouldn't say to her, make yourself look beautiful. Ela Kofet Mitasa Venoi Gomelas, well, it's a contrast. Meaning, not only can he not go ahead and say, you know, maybe you should put on makeup so you should look beautiful for me. So not only can he say that you should be sensitive to my needs, but what does he have to do? He has to be sensitive to her needs. And what does he do? He turns over his bed along with her bed, meaning that he observes avilus along with her. Similarly, again, if her in-laws die, meaning her husband's parents died, she should not adorn herself to make herself look all beautiful. Ella kofa mitasa v'noheges imo avelos. Rather, what? She should go ahead and simply turn over her bed and observe avelos along with him. The Tanya Idioch, we have another brace that says, afa pisha amru eino rashai lakof es ishto lios kocheles v'lios pokeses, even though when a wife is in mourning, when a wife has lost her parents or her relatives, a husband cannot compel her to put on makeup and put herself together. Be'emes amru mozeges lo asakos, umatsoos lo mita, umarchetes panav lo yadov raglov, marchetes lo panav yadov raglov. Well, here's what's interesting. So when a wife is sitting shiva, she, although again her husband should not tell her to put on her makeup, she is permitted to do things for her husband. So she's permitted to pour him a cup of wine, she's permitted to make his bed, and she's permitted to wash his hands and feet, because that's what a wife does, right? I'm saying, you know, right? So again, right? So meaning that she's permitted to go ahead. I'm very brave when my wife is not in earshot, right? So again, she doesn't listen to the recordings, right? Of course, now I know what's going to happen, right? So the point that Gemara is making over here is what? Is that Lemaisa, when she's in Avelo, she can make his bed. Now, Bosai, the fact that it says she's making his bed, what does that sound like? That his bed is not overturned. But that contradicts what we just said before, because we just said before that when a wife is mourning, the husband must join in the mourning practices as well. Kashan Adadi. Elashan says, no. Elashma mino, kan bechavam bechamosom, kan bishakrovim. To which the Gemara says, no, halacha lemaisa, it depends. When she's in mourning for her parents, that's when a husband must join in that mourning. But when she is mourning for other relatives, a husband does not have an obligation to join in with that mourning. So when the Braisa says that he turns over his bed, that's when his wife lost her parents. When it says that he did not turn over, she's permitted to make his bed if she wants, that's with other relatives. Tanya, as Shema Minan, indeed learn this out. Tanya, the Braisa that supports this, lo amru l'chavot ishto, ela chamav v'chamosa bilvad. When we say that again, a husband is obligated to go ahead and join his wife in her mourning, that is only when she has lost her parents. Now, I will say, you might be thinking to yourself, hey, I've never heard of this. Now, I will say, this seems to be pretty much halacha lemaisa, that when again, someone who you are obligated to mourn for is in mourning themselves, you are obligated to mourn along with them. We paskin only in their presence. Only in their presence. Why have we never heard of this? Because it's a very interesting caveat to this halacha. What's the caveat? That if the mourner, this is done out of deference to the mourner. This is done out of covet, out of derech eretz, out of respect to the mourner. If the mourner is mochel, if the mourner forgives this rite, then the close relative does not have the obligation to mirror the mourning practices of their mourning relative. So I'll say, today's day and age, we assume that there is an implied mechila. And this is true, by the way, even in this most acute case of a wife with her parents, there's an automatic assumption that if chas v'shalom, one of my close relatives from whom I would be obligated to sit shiva, is themselves sitting shiva for someone else, there is an implied mechila, an implied forgiving of the rite, that they do not require me to sit shiva along with them in their presence, and that's why you never see this practice really exercised today. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. Just a reminder, tomorrow is a legal holiday, so it's regular Sunday schedule, first minyan at 7:15, and we'll do the daf emir tashem after the first minyan.